thousand ways my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. My soul is light, my heart is steel. I cannot see, I cannot fear, for life is life, I must appeal in simple faith to Jesus. He died, he lives, he reigns, he bleeds. There's love in all his words and deeds. There's all a gift each sinner needs. Forevermore in Jesus.
Greetings in the name of our soon coming Savior and Lord, your speaker, Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas. Now, having gone over in the past three messages to you what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ know, what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ have, what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ are, we're going to look now at what is the best that is yet before us. We can say, indeed, it is better on before. So we're going to say a little about what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ expect. And so I'm going to ask you to turn to a few simple portions found in the Word of God. We shall read in the last book in the Bible, chapter 22, and we'll notice very briefly verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Now, if you will take the time and the pains to read through this last chapter, you will find that that expression, behold, I come quickly, behold, I come quickly, surely I come quickly, occurs exactly three times. And this is the very last page of the Bible, just as our Bible closes. You know, the prospect that lies before us as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ is what we expect. We believe in the imminent coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're sure, according to his word of promise to us, that very soon he is coming again. And by the way, there is evidence, and I may further state that there is combination of evidence around us on every hand today that declares without mistake that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ draweth nigh. And of course, if this truth was in our hearts, it would certainly affect our lives. It's one thing to have a mental concept of this truth, but you know, after all, what really and truly counts, if this truth is in the heart, if this truth is filling our souls, and if we really believed it, firmly believed it, I mean, if it was reality in our hearts, in our souls, and in our lives today, we would be spending every idle moment that we have in earnest prayer to God, seeking answers to our prayers that he might come in and save our loved ones who are still without the Savior, some who may manifest little or no concern, may be totally and absolutely indifferent. But if we were in earnest and seeking the face of our God, you can be quite sure that we would experience some drastic results. We would see definite and, thank God, some permanent results. Now then, let's put it this way. What do believers in our Lord Jesus Christ expect? And let me come a little closer to ourselves. Let me ask you, what are you expecting? Now, of course, as Christians, We know the world is not getting better. But according to the Word of God, as we find it in many, many passages, that the Word of God is waxing, that the world is waxing worse and worse, and deceivers are abounding on every hand. There's false prophets, false teachers, and whatnot. But there are those, thank God, who are still here upon earth, who sincerely believe, who believe with all their heart and with all their soul, that the last pledge and promise our Savior made, for instance, was, I will come again. He cannot forgo that promise. He must make that promise good. And our hearts are crying out today, even so, come, Lord Jesus. What a glorious prospect awaits us. Now we know that the outlook of the world is vastly, vastly different than ours. But I ask you, and I press it once again, what are you expecting? What are you looking for? What is your future? What does the future hold, in other words? Well, we know according to the Word of God, and if we share God's thoughts, we can see that the conditions about us are fast fulfilling what God has spoken of and so plainly declared, and according to all that we can gather around us on every hand, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at the very door. Now, let me press, if I may, a little about this precious truth, what we are expecting. If you were to turn, for instance, to the first epistle of John, and that, of course, would be the third chapter, and reading at verse 3, although we want to comment on a verse or two that comes a little later in the chapter. But in that opening verse it says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and as one translation puts it, and such we are. And then he goes on to tell us that therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. He came, you see, to his own. They didn't know him. And very few in the world today, comparatively few, know, personally know, our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But those of us who have trusted Him, those of us who have received Him, we can say, thank God that we do know His Son, and in some little measure we enter into, we share His program, and we appreciate what God has so clearly said. Now then, what are we expecting? What are you expecting? Are you expecting that the Lord Jesus Christ may come at any moment, that He may, for instance, come this very day? Now, if so, now this is a challenge. If it's merely from your lips out, then of course it won't affect your life. But if this truth is in your heart and in your soul, listen to what it'll do. He says, for instance, in verse 2 of 1 John chapter 3, Behold now, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Our bodies will be translated and changed, and we'll have bodies like unto His own glorious body. But now listen, meantime, and this is why I've read it, this is why I'm stressing it, what are we expecting? This is what would happen if really and truly, from your heart of hearts, you're living on the very tiptoe of expectation and really looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at any moment. Hear what He says. That's 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says, Every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I tell you, it would affect your ways, it would affect your behavior, and I have no doubt that there are many Christians who maybe in reality do know the Lord Jesus. They, of course, are not looking for His coming, and it would be to them a great surprise. But to the one who has this truth, this sublime, this precious truth, filling his heart and filling his soul, this is what God says it will do. He that hath this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. And there are many things that I might be found doing that I can assure you I would not be found doing if this truth was in my heart. That's what the psalmist meant, you recall, in the 51st Psalm when he said, "Thou desirest truth in the inward part," so that a mere mental grasp, a mere mental concept, and it may be ever so clear, the teaching of the second coming, that is to say, the rapture, the coming for his own. And if I need hardly stress that there are two stages of our blessed Lord's coming. First, the rapture, or his coming to the air to shout his people to himself, and then later the revelation when he comes to the earth with his own. But listen, if this truth is in your heart, filling your heart, and filling your soul, it would purify your life. I tell you it would. Your behavior, your conduct would be such that would be God-honoring and God-glorifying. You'd be saying just exactly, who could I win for Christ today? Who could I warn? Who could I tell that Jesus is coming? Shout the glad word, coming for those he's redeemed by his blood. And oh, beloved in the Lord, it may be at this very moment, it may be today. May God help us then to be waiting, to be watching, and to be serving meantime. Now let me read to you another scripture, and this further stresses what as Christians, as believers, we are expecting. If you were to turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians chapter 3, and you read there the last verse which says, "Only let your conversation," and of course that word doesn't necessarily mean the talk of the lip, it means the behavior, your attitude, your conduct. "Only let your behavior be as becometh the gospel of Christ," he says. "And therefore, whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in Christ." Now, that's what would happen to us. But now let me read you one more verse that tells us what would happen. This you would find in chapter 3 and verse 20, where once again we come across that word, "For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, I ask you, are you looking for him? Are you expecting him? This is the expectation of the believer. And then he goes on to say, "Who shall change our vile bodies," or our bodies of humiliation, "and fashion them like unto his own glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." Oh, may God, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, impress upon our hearts the very fact that the coming of the Savior is near at hand. The speaker was in conversation with somebody just very recently, and in that conversation they said, "But now look, you say the Lord is coming, and you say his coming is very near, but isn't it a fact that people have spoken of his coming and preached of his coming year after year?" "Yes," we said, "it is. But today, it's different in this respect, that we can put our fingers upon tangible evidence. We can put our fingers upon that's very visible, that did not exist in years gone by, that tells us that the end is at hand." Now, to somebody, supposing I entertain that hope, and I still don't realize. In other words, I'm caused to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, let me give you one precious word that ought to cheer you. The Apostle Paul, in speaking of his departure, says, "I fought a good fight." That's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day." Now listen, this is for you. "And not to me only, but to unto all them that love his appearing." So that if you love that gladsome event, if it's filling your heart and filling your soul, You have the pledge. You have a promise of a special crown. May God today then speak to your hearts and help us then to be on the very tiptoe of expectation and saying from our heart of hearts, even so come, Lord Jesus, we long your face to say, to see. And if he isn't yours, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.